But if you don't know, that's the way you answer. If you don't know, you don't lie and say you do know. But I didn't really answer the question enough for him to know, and that is, I said, but not in the sense of the New Testament in what? For if they had indwelling that spirit, it was not the same as John 7, 38, and 39, because he said the Holy Spirit had not been given that sense. And I answered that over email. So I don't know why I needed to ask the question again. I'd already answered. I did answer. Not in the sense of John 7, 38, 39. I don't even know what kind of trouble I've been in. It doesn't make any difference whether or not they're dwelling in old or new. You go ahead and tell us what the problems are. If I say yes, what's the problem? If I say no, what's the problem? There is no problem. When he needs to learn it, God can do anything he wants to. If God had an indwelling in the Old Testament, he can have one in the new if he wants to. And if God didn't have one there, he can still have one in the new. God can do whatever he wants to, man, and you don't believe that. There's no problem either way. I don't need to know answer the question, because if I answer yes or no, there can be no problem whatsoever. Then he said, Luke 11, 13, he gives the Spirit. Here's the truth. He said that's a reference to miraculous endowment. And he said, I'm a supreme divine miraculous. Well, Mary, each time I went through those proof texts that I went through, I showed that the context was talking about all Christians. Okay, I did that each time. He said that was an insurmountable problem. He said I had to do this. I did that in my last speech. I almost developed my whole time showing that each one applied to all Christians. Now, do you believe that in 1 Corinthians 13 that the Bible teaches the miraculous faith? I couldn't have did. Therefore, the miraculous is seed, and I proved that all those passages apply to all Christians, therefore I showed it's not miraculous. That proves that. There's no way around that, David. Now, even if you've got to believe the miraculous is still here today, well, you've got to say those passages don't teach to all Christians. But you didn't deny that. I said they teach to all Christians. I took up the context of each one, proved that they apply to all Christians, not just a select few, and he did not even respond to that. Not a word about it. You either have to deny that, Marion, or you've got to indicate some miraculous things today. We know that I've proven that these passages, I show them the context, they apply to all. Like, for example, John chapter 7, 38 and 39 showed that believers would receive it. Now, is that just a select few, or is that all? What about John 3, 16? The believers, if you believe in Jesus, you won't perish but have everlasting life. Is that just a select few, or is that everybody? It's everybody. Therefore, we know it still applies to that. Not the miraculous, therefore it's not the miraculous. It can't be that the miraculous is not applied to that, and I've proven it for all Christians. Put up number 21. That I have proven this audience beyond a shadow of a doubt, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Acts 2:38 is not talking about the miraculous. It cannot be. I'm going to do it from his own words, okay? Now, here's what he said in one of his books. And he said basically the same thing, not just that same word. But on Red 2:28 to 2:29, he said, the expression, gift of the Holy Spirit, is only found twice in all of God's Word. Same expression in Acts 10:45 has the same meaning in Acts 2:38. What's he saying there? What he said tonight? That Acts 2:38 is the same as Acts 10:45, but they have the same terminology, the gift of the Holy Ghost, and we'll do it in a minute. And they say, therefore, Acts 2:38 has to be the right. That's what he said tonight, that's what he said in his book. I'm going to prove that Acts 2:38 cannot be referring to the same thing Acts 10:45 is even talking about. Okay? The gift of the Holy Ghost in Acts 2:38 is conditioned upon water baptism. Have you ever noticed that? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Did you know that the gift of the Holy Ghost there is conditioned upon water baptism? I asked him a question. And Acts 2:38 by itself proves that Cornelius did not receive the remission of sins before he was baptized. And Acts 2:48. The prophet said, the remission of sins is conditioned upon being baptized in Acts 2:38. The same is true of Acts of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now here's what he said in his book, Luke 2:54. He showed how you get this gift. He was a little part of Acts 2:38. He said, you have to believe, this is on Luke 2:54, you look at it for yourself, repent, confess, and be baptized, and we had some more, and we had gifts. He made this gift, which he thinks is the miraculous, which he says is the same as Acts 10:45, he said it was conditioned upon baptism. That is, this gift the Holy Ghost has never received before water baptism. Just as surely as you don't get the remission of sins before water baptism, you don't get this gift of the Holy Ghost before baptism. The miraculous gift of the Holy Ghost in Acts 10:45 was received by Cornelius and his household before they were baptized in water. This is 47:48. Now, there's no getting around that, man. You said, according to Luke 2:54, you said that you could get the gift of the Holy Ghost You said it was conditioned upon water baptism, just like remission of sins. We all know that. Yet in Acts 10:45, that gift of the Holy Ghost was received before water baptism. Now, if you can receive this miraculous gift of the Holy Ghost before water baptism, like for me, it's why couldn't Cornelius receive the remission of sins before water baptism? Acts 10:38 makes both of them conditioned upon water baptism. Therefore, the gift of the Holy Ghost in Acts 2:38 cannot, I repeat, this proves beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's no way to get around it, cannot be the same as the miraculous gift of the Holy Ghost. One is conditioned after original baptism, you can't receive for that. The other was gotten before baptism. And then I know one is a personal indwelling, that is, you earn it. The one that gives you, so that you're saved, in effect, may not be the one that's exactly right. Acts 10:45 has nothing to do with that. Cornelius received it before he was ever saved. Saul had a miraculous message of the Holy Spirit in 1 Samuel 19 while he was plotting to kill God's anointed Jesus. He lay down nothing all day and night. In 1 Samuel 19, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came before him and prophesied. He got a miraculous measure. He wasn't any kind of faith physician, and neither was Cornelius. In Acts 3:38, it says you've got to be baptized to get this, and you have to have a remission of sins to get it. Because the Galatians 4:6 says, because you are sons, God put forth the Spirit of the Son in your heart. Not before your sons, like Cornelius, but because you are sons. So you know that that's not talking about the miraculous. It's not talking about the same as Acts 10:45. One can come before baptism, before you are a son, and one is absolutely conditioned upon water baptism. Now, if a person can get the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is conditioned upon baptism, Acts 2:38, that's his position, before he's baptized, then that same person could get the remission of sins, which is also conditioned upon baptism, Acts 2:38, before he's baptized. And the same would work for all the baptism passages. I'd like to see you meet a Baptist that brings up Cornelius. We'll mention this later. As soon as he says Cornelius received the remission of sins before he's baptized, he says, no, Acts 2:38, you have to be baptized. Still crazy. But Acts 2:38, you have to be baptized to get the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yet you thought he got that before he was baptized. What we're hearing is absolutely impossible. Okay? Then he said, my next insurmountable thing is I must prove that it's the Holy Spirit itself. Put up number four. There it is again. That's what I was doing. Do y'all realize that most of my speech, last time I started with Acts 2:38, and I said, if you go either way, give it the Holy Ghost, then it gives from the Holy Ghost, or gives the Holy Ghost, or gives him. And then I used all these passages to prove that it was the Holy Spirit himself. Now the text said, I can say it. And he said, I got to get over that. He said, I haven't done it yet. Well, I haven't had a speech since you said that. I did my first speech. Break that up. In Luke 11:13, it says, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. And he said, I've got to prove that the Holy Spirit himself was given. What does it say? It says, give the Holy Spirit. Didn't say anything from the Holy Spirit. It says, give the Holy Spirit himself. The Holy Spirit which they that believe on him should receive. What was received there? The Holy Spirit. Man, that's what I did in my speech. I got over that insurmountable problem. Did you ignore it? Did you, were you listening? I got over the insurmountable problem that I must prove that it's mostly good. I mean, okay, you can go through and say these verses aren't right, or it's a bad translation, or the Greek doesn't say that. You need to do that, Mary. Because these passages, as they're reading, the King James prove that indisputably, every one of them. Acts 5:32, the Holy Ghost whom God has given to them that obey him. Is that the Holy Spirit itself or somebody, something else? It's the Holy Spirit himself. Romans 5:5, the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. What is given? Holy Ghost. Himself. That's what the verse says. The text says it. I didn't make that up. That's what the Bible says. That's what I'm interested in, what the Bible says. Not some complicated set of system that contradicts the Bible over and over. 1 Thessalonians 4:8 has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. 1 John 3:24, Spirit which he has given us. He said, it's insurmountable. You've got to know the Holy Spirit is the thing that's given to himself. So the passage, I'm in the text, man. I've given you 5 or 6 or 8 in the first page. Now, I would thought one would be good enough to get over your insurmountable problem. I gave you 6 or 8. How many times has God got to say it to make it true? And then he came up with this idea of consistency of language, Acts 2:38, 10:45. Put up number 22. He made the point that if the gift of the Holy Ghost in one place, the gift of the Holy Spirit in another, it's got to be the same. We've already proven it. Because one was pretending for baptism and one not. You see, these terms aren't always interchangeable. He wants to make them look like they are, but they're not. And I'm going to show that even he doesn't believe that they are. The expression
Here's his quote again. The gift of the Holy Spirit is only found twice in all of God's Word, the same expression in Acts 10:45, the same ending in Acts 10:38. Now, they are the same, Mary, from the standpoint that the gift in both places is the Holy Ghost himself. Because in Acts 10:44, it says the Holy Ghost fell on them. That shows it's the Holy Ghost himself. Acts 10:47, which received the Holy Ghost. So both passages, the gift of the Holy Ghost, they're the same in the sense that in both places they received the Holy Ghost himself. Not a power from the Holy Ghost, not something from the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost himself. That's what Acts 10 says, that's what Acts 5 says, and all those other passages say. And but there's for two different purposes. For example, if I gave you a gift of money and I gave him a gift of money, one might be $10, one might be $5. They might not be exactly the same, even though they both have the same expression, the gift of money. Now watch this, they have two different purposes. In Acts 10:45, it was miraculous. In Acts 2:38, in Ephesians 1, it was an earnest to show that they were saved. In Acts 10:45, they weren't even saved yet, so they got it. But this definitely came after they were saved and was contingent upon being baptized for the remission of sins. And that's what I've already pointed out. They have to be different in this sense. The gift conditioned upon baptism, this one, the gift received before baptism. So that proves that 2:38 gift is not the same as 10:45 as my opponent contends. So 2:38 can't be the miraculous. We already agree it's not the indwelling of the Word. There's only one thing left. And rule out the other two possibilities. It is the personal indwelling of the Holy Ghost. That's what I tell them right there. Now let's show that even he doesn't think the terminology is always consistent. Everybody turn first to Acts 2, verse 4. In Acts 2, verse 4, we find the expression, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now remember that. We have filled with the Holy Ghost. Now I believe I know what Marion thinks about these expressions. He thinks it's come after miraculous. Filled with the Holy Ghost. But now let's turn to Ephesians 5:18. What does that say? Be filled with the Spirit. There's the same expression, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit. Same expression. Does he believe the same? No. The one in Acts 2 believes it's miraculous. The one in Ephesians 5, I agree with him, it's come in well into the world. And then another one, over in Luke 1:15, you have the same expression, and he believes it refers to a third thing. A third thing. Luke 1:15, referring to John the Baptist, it says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. He doesn't think that refers to the miraculous, but the Bible says John didn't perform any miracles. He doesn't think it refers to the indwelling through the Word, either. We've got filled with the Holy Ghost in three different places, and he thinks it's referring to three different times. So he doesn't believe his own argument that you see gift of the Holy Ghost in two places, it's got to be the same both times. He doesn't believe his own argument that you see receive the Holy Ghost, it's got to be the same in every place. Else he would believe these are the same in every place. That's his consistency of argument. And he doesn't accept it in his own self. My best argument is you don't even believe. And then he brought up Acts 8:16. In Acts 8:16, and you can put up number 34, Mike. In Acts 8:16, he says, this meant, or this proves that I was wrong. It says, talking about the Holy Ghost in verse 15, it says, for as yet he was falling upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I ask him a question. I ask him, is Acts 8:16 saying the Samaritans had not received the Holy Ghost in what sense? He said, in any sense. Okay. That means they had not received the Holy Ghost according to his reading, even in the sense of the indwelling through the Word. Because he believes that the Holy Ghost, getting the Holy Ghost. We're not going to deal with that, but we've already talked about his consistency of language saying it's filled with the Holy Ghost. And then number 22. Here's his argument. It poses a contradiction to Acts 8 that the Christians are filled with the Holy Spirit when they're baptized. Luke states they were baptized believers. Luke further states they not received the Holy Spirit in Acts 8:16. He knows, and I know, that this is talking about the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit. Not the miraculous measure in any sense. They had the Holy Spirit dwelling for them at the Word at this time. They also had Acts 2:38 given the Holy Ghost. How do I know that? When you're debating the Baptist from what St. Paul say, he says, time the source of what to say. Why can't you just say, well, I know he was saved because Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And then Acts 8:13 says that Simon himself believed also and was baptized. We know he was saved in verse 13. How? Because he had done what Jesus said. I know these folks had received a non-miraculous marriage of the Holy Spirit when they were baptized because Acts 2:38 says, we're going to be baptized for the remission of sins, and you'll get it. We've already proven that's not referring to the same thing to Acts 10:41. I know they have received it.
This is just saying they have not received the miraculous gift. That's all it's saying. He knows that. I know that. That's just. He said, this word means absolutely not. That's right. They have absolutely not received the miraculous gift. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit in any sense. Okay? You can prove that. Okay? And then Acts 5:32, he says, past tense. Now, act like that shows something. You need to put that down. Acts 5:32 says, we're his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. Okay? He says, God has given it to them, that's past tense. Now, that was supposed to prove something. Let me turn over to Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Have you ever noticed that was in the past tense? Now, according to his argument in Acts 5:32, since it's in the past tense, it doesn't apply to everybody then, and it doesn't apply to us today. But Galatians 3:27 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, past tense. According to his argument, that means it didn't apply to all of you then, and it doesn't apply to that. And either it does, past tense, mean that it doesn't, Mary. You know, they stand or fall together. The same thing with Romans 6, verse 3, also past tense. According to his reasoning, since it's past tense, it didn't apply to all then, it doesn't apply today. Know you not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Past tense. What have you got, Mary? Nothing unless it proves that Romans 6, 3, Galatians 3, 27 don't apply to us today. You know it doesn't prove that. You know, let's talk about this past tense in Acts 5:32. That doesn't bother me. It is past tense. Doesn't mean anything. But past tense, how many had obeyed at this time? How many had obeyed at this time? Thousands. He said this only applies to the apostles, but he says God has given the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. That past tense, how many had obeyed up to this time? Well, Acts 2:41 says that 3,000 had obeyed. In chapter 4:4 says 5,000, either meaning a total of 8 or a total of 5. And then in chapter 5:14 it says believers were the more added. And we have over 5,000 people that have obeyed Christ up to this point. So we have at least over 5,000 that have received the Holy Ghost. Past tense. You see that? So either past tense proves it's only apostles. We have at least 5,000 that have obeyed even at that time past tense. Then he said, how can you tell the difference between the personal indwelling and the miraculous? I pointed that out abundantly over and over again there in the first page. Because when you see that the Holy Spirit is promised to all, you're going to know it's not the miraculous, because the miraculous was never given to all, and it's not for all today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. For example, in Luke 11, 13, and he just ignored my showing these passages that they apply to all. In Luke 11, 13, where it says that you'll get the Holy Spirit by asking for it, in the same context, I point out verses 9 and 10, ask and shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and shall be opened to you. Is that applying to all, or just the apostles? I show by the context he's talking at all, since we know the miraculous succeeds. 1 Corinthians 13, this can't be talking about the miraculous. That's how I know there is. In John 7:38 and 39, it says the believers succeed. Is that the miraculous? Obviously not. All believers then, all believers today, didn't necessarily receive the miraculous. He said no. All believers asking that question. Did all believers back then receive the miraculous? He said no. This is talking about, just like John 3:16, and I pointed this out in the first piece. Believers, you won't carry it, you have everlasting life.
Truly.
Who's that? Just the apostles or all? If it's all, can't you come at just the miraculous? Acts 2:38. In Acts 2:38, let's look at verse 39. 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We've already proven it can't be the miraculous. That would be contradicting Acts 10:45. But also in verse 39, it says, this promise, the promise of Acts 2, is unto you, that's the Jews there, to your children, that's their descendants, to all that are far off, you have the term, those that are far off, twice in Ephesians 2, we're talking about all the Gentiles. Now that means the word all, but it says those that are far off. Both places are referring to all the Gentiles, who you agree with that. Now what does this refer to? All that are far off. That is certainly referring to all the Gentiles. All of them. And then it says, even as to as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's a quote from Joel 2:32. And if you look at that in your Bible, you'll see that that call that God has in Joel 2:32 is not a call to the miraculous. It is a call to deliverance or salvation.
One minute.
It says in verse 32, it's come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. That's Acts 2:21. Then it says, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be delivered, That's salvation.
As the Lord has said, and in the remnant, whom the Lord shall call.
That's close. That's Acts 2:39.
That's not talking about a call to miraculous or a select few. It's talking about a call to salvation or deliverance. So Acts 2:39 makes it absolutely clear that the promise of Acts 2:38 is universal to all the Jews, then and now, to all the Gentiles, then and now, to as many as the Lord our God shall call, to deliver, that is salvation. Joel 2, verse 32. How can you miss the point? It's talking about everybody, therefore it's not the miraculous.